Good morning. So good to be with you again, beloved. What a way to begin the day by focusing on the Lord in glory. Crown Him with many crowns, the Lord upon the throne. That's where He is. It tells us, beloved, that He's been victorious, that He has conquered, and that He reigns and will reign forever and ever. We're going to read this morning from the second book of Chronicles in chapter 7. And let me just say, we're just going to partially cover this, what this portion is talking about. Maybe sometime in the future we might finish it. Second Chronicles in chapter 7, we begin to read at verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place for myself as an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wickedness, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attentive unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes might hear, and mine heart shall be there perpetually. We just stay there. What we want to focus on this morning, beloved, is the phrase, my people. My people. And I wonder sometimes if we really get to the depths of that statement, if we really understand its implications. That you and I, beloved, are referred to as God's people. Israel, to whom this portion is addressed, they were the people of God. And even though we can make applications, and we do sometimes, we speak of this passage and we talk about nations, for instance, with a biblical heritage, and we refer to ourselves as the people of God. And of course, when we speak of the church, the body of Christ, we are also referred to in the New Testament as the people of God. But originally, this is about Israel. This is about the people who were called by His name. When we think of God's people, we go back to Abraham. Because, beloved, when we look in the Bible, the people of God are referred to in three different aspects. There are those who are called. The people of God called, and the people of God, they are people of God by covenant, God's solemn promise. And the people of God, if we read the scriptures, we find that the people of God are to be consecrated. Called, covenanted, and consecrate. This goes back to Abraham, and Abraham, that man of God, he was called by God out of Ur of the Chaldees, called to begin or to establish a new people, beginning the Jewish race or the Israelitish people. And he was called, and God called him specifically for this purpose. He said, I will make thee a great nation. I will make thy name great. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. I will bless him that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. So herein begin that special relationship called the people of God. God is appearing to Solomon. The temple is now completed. His own house is now completed. And God is saying to him and warning him, if these things happen, if I send the locust, or if I withhold rain, if I come in judgment upon my people, there is a way out. If my people, who are called by my name. That special people, that covenanted people, that people with whom God had made this sacred agreement with through Abraham and confirmed it in his son Isaac and also in his grandson Jacob. There was a special relationship. God had promised not only to make them a nation, but also to give them a land. A land for an eternal possession, for an everlasting possession. And through that particular seed and that relationship, God had promised not only that natural seed, but also a spiritual posterity, which culminated in the Lord Jesus Christ, his son, because we read in the scriptures that when Jesus came, when we speak of the incarnation, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. So there were those, his people by covenant. And God remembered them. And God always kept his word. And God always kept his covenant. So we have the Abrahamic covenant, but there are many covenants throughout the scriptures, beloved. But always the people of God are his by covenant. They're his by that solemn oath, that solemn promise, that solemn agreement. God is careful to let Solomon know that this is not a free ride. You cannot do exactly what you feel like. If you fail, and if the nation, if my people fail, there is a way back. And the way back is by sacrifice. The way back is by repentance. If my people. And we know as we read the scriptures, beloved, that Israel, indeed, they were the people of God. When God brought them out from under the bondage of the Egyptians there in Exodus in chapter 6, he says, I will take you to me. I will take you to me for a people. For my own possession. My own possession. And then he established the old covenant. After they were delivered, he established the old covenant, the Mosaic covenant, there in Exodus in chapter 19. And this covenant was not the same as the Abrahamic covenant, because this covenant had conditions. Just to read a few verses to just cement that in Exodus in chapter 19, you just want to highlight the conditions, because they were still the people of God, but God is saying, these are the conditions. In verse 5 of Exodus 19, now therefore, if, you won't find that in the Abrahamic covenant, you won't find that in the new covenant. If ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And we know that they pledged back to the Lord that all that the Lord has said, we will do. But God's intention for Israel was that they would be a peculiar treasure, a people unto himself, a special people. But we know that they did not. They did not carry on. They did not fulfill their part of the agreement. And so there were constant failures. Back and forth, there were failures. Moses reminded them in Deuteronomy 7 that the Lord didn't choose you because you were more in number than any other nations, he says. But he says, you are a holy people unto the Lord, chosen to be his special people, according to Deuteronomy chapter 7 and 6. A special people. A people by covenant. I said there were many covenants. I think there are 8 covenants. But there's also that covenant with David, the Davidic covenant. And under this covenant, you see, under the Abrahamic covenant, it was to be a people of his own, a special people, an inheritance. Under the Mosaic covenant, there was a conditional covenant. There should be a holy people, a people of his own, a kingdom of priests, if you will. But it was conditional, the essence of which we read in the book of Hebrews that the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. Because we are under the new covenant, which is established upon better promises. That's what we read in the New Testament. Nevertheless, this was a covenant that if Israel failed to uphold their part. They were supposed to be an holy people according to Deuteronomy 14 and 2, and Deuteronomy again 26 and 18, a holy people, meaning a people of his own possession. You see, the tenderness of the Lord, he refers to this particular group as my people. How sad it was when we hear the words of Jeremiah in chapter 2. It says, my people have committed evils. My people. How it must grieve the heart of God to see his people going astray, to see them wandering, even though he had warned them that there are consequences. My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and have hewed themselves out cisterns that can hold no water. They have gone after other gods. They have forsaken the Lord who had brought them out of bondage, the Lord who had brought them into the land, the Lord who had provided for all their needs. Now they have forsaken him. And so there are consequences. God would have to abandon his people. God would have to put them in bondage. And at one point, one of the sad stories we find in the Old Testament, God would have to give them over. Let's just read this because this is important. These are the people of God we're talking about here in Hosea. You know the book of Hosea. We call this mirrors. This marriage mirrors the relationship with God and his people. The marriage of this prophet to Gomer, this unfaithful wife. And she would bear children. This is what God had to do with his people. He was teaching them a lesson. Because at this point, he no longer regarded them as his people. Hosea chapter 1. The marriage is consummated. The children are on their way. Verse 3 says, so he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, who conceived and bore him a son. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. Call him Jezreel, meaning scatter them. This nation will be scattered. Scattered. First son, Jezreel, scattered. Verse 6. And she conceived again and bore a daughter, and God said unto him, call her name Lo-ruhama, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. No longer have mercy. Verse 8. Now when she had weaned Lo-ruhama, she conceived and bore a son. Then said God, call his name Lo-ami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. The nation was estranged from God. Because of their idolatrous deeds, they had forsaken the Lord, and those who were his people, now he's saying, you are no longer my people. God had to cast them off. But let us remind ourselves that this was not permanent. So many would love to tell us, well, God is finished with Israel. Now the church has taken Israel's place. Don't believe it. The church has not taken Israel's place because Israel's greatest day is yet to come. God, who cut them off, the Bible tells us in Romans, he is able to graft them in again, the natural branches. So even though they were estranged from him, we need to understand that this is not permanent. As a matter of fact, why don't we just finish up this portion? We go down to verse 10. Hosea 1. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be like the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that if the place, in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, we just read that, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. This is yet to come. Because Jezreel scattered, God is going to regather his people again. God is going to bring them in again. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. God is going to regather them. Scattered? Yes. Right now scattered. But they will be regathered. When the Messiah comes, the deliverer who is going to come out of Zion and going to take away ungodliness from Judah, from Israel. See unto your brethren. Look at the difference. Where's the low? The low is gone. See unto your brethren. Am I? Meaning, my people. My people. That's in a coming day. Am I? Not, Lord, am I? But am I? My people. And to your sisters. The Lord is gone. Lo, ru, hema. He will have mercy. God will be merciful. He will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and he will take away ungodliness from Israel. But that's a coming day. But the people of God had forsaken him. The called people, the covenanted people, and the consecrated people, they had forsaken the Lord. The psalmist said in Psalm 81, my people would not hearken. They would not hearken. We spoke of the Davidic covenant. And that Davidic covenant refers to the reign of the Messiah. And that covenant was ratified in the coming of the Lord Jesus. And the angel of the Lord repeated to the Virgin Mary that thou shalt conceive in thy womb and shall bear a son, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob. He shall reign. That refers to the millennial reign of Christ. That covenant, that Davidic covenant, concerns the reign of Christ here on earth. And we are looking forward to that, where after Christ comes and takes his people home, and then he will come back to earth to set up his millennial kingdom. When he came first, he didn't receive any kingdom. The crowns that he received was a crown of thorns. And they rejected him. His own people. He came unto his own things, and his own people received him not. But to as many as received him, to them he gives power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. I just want to read a part of that Davidic covenant, because it's so reassuring and it's so precious. 2 Samuel chapter 7, because God is going to keep his word. God's going to keep his covenant. And the covenanted people is going to be restored. But the church is not the spiritual Israel. We are a people of his own possession as well, but not the children of Israel, because everything is happening into Israel, and Israel is going to be continually estranged until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, when the church is completed. We read that in Acts chapter 15, I think, yes. That God's purpose now, it's not about Israel. God's purpose here and now in this age is that He is visiting the nations and He is taking out of them a people for His name. After this, He's going to deal with Israel again. After this. But part of the, and that's by the way, part of the Davidic covenant, 2 Samuel 7, verse 23 says, why am I in Chronicles here? 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 23 says, "And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, my people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to Himself, and to make him a name, and to do for you great things, and awe-inspiring for thy land before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people, Israel, to be a people unto thee forever, and thou, Lord, art become their God." So this is an everlasting relationship. God hasn't abandoned Israel forever. They're not cast off forever. They are cut off that you and I, beloved, might be grafted in. That's what Romans 11 tells us. But yet to be fulfilled is that Davidic covenant when the Lord Jesus will sit on the throne of His father, David. Now, as far as you and I are concerned, beloved, God has brought us into blessing under the new covenant. There is a new covenant, new in respect to in reference to the old covenant, which is the Mosaic covenant. In Hebrews in chapter 8, and we don't have time to read it all, but verse 8 says, "For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." It's a new covenant. "Not according to the covenant that I made with them, with their fathers in that day when I took them from by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt." This is referring to the old covenant. "Because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord." And the new covenant, verse 10, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." You notice the word "if" is missing, because this is not conditional. The old covenant was conditional. If you do this, then I will do this. But under the new covenant, God says, I will. That's grace, beloved. That's grace. The law demands, but grace bestows. And we refer to this, but I'm gonna read this because this has to do with us and the church, God's purpose. In Acts chapter 15, verse 13 says, "After they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God first did visit the nations to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, After this I will return. I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David." This is the confirmation of the Davidic covenant, "which has fallen down, and I will build it again. I'll build again its ruins, and I will set it up," and so forth. But right now, God is taking out of the nations a people of His own. Yes, Israel, peculiarly, was the people of God. And that is stated again and again and again. The people of God, special. Because God had called them. God had had covenanted with them. And God had set them apart for himself to be a special people. They were not supposed to be like the heathens. They were not supposed to be like the other nations. And so, what a tragedy for them when they said to Samuel, "We want a king because we want to be like the other nations." They were not supposed to be. God had called them to be a separate people, to be a people unto his own, a special people. And here they are saying, "We want to be like the other nations." Can't be. When it comes to the people of God, beloved, the church, we can't be like the world. If we're going to be effective, God has called us not to be like the world. God has called us not to dabble and not to change the world in the sense of Christianizing. God has called us to evangelize, to be salt, to have an effect on this giddy world. We can't be like the nations. We can't be like the world. For like Israel, we are called to be a separate people. We are called to be some version says a peculiar people, but is a people of his own. A people of his own possession. That's why the Lord Jesus went to the cross. And it's no better stated than in Titus chapter 2. And verse 11, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a people of his own, zealous of good works." Our responsibility then, these things speak and exhort, let no man despise thee. So when I say we are called to be a people set apart for God, not to be part and parcel of a world system, I say that without any fear of contradiction. And he says, let no man despise you if you are really proclaiming this truth. In 1 Peter, similar words refer to us as to Israel. 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're rushing, so just bear with me. 1 Peter in chapter 2, and verse 9 tells us, "But ye are a chosen generation." Where did we hear that before? Under the old covenant. The Mosaic covenant. "Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a people of his own." And what's our purpose? "That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who in time past were not a people." Do we understand that? In time past, we were not a people. When God referred to his people in the Old Testament, we were not included because we were strangers from the covenants of promise. We had no claim. No claim on God's covenant. We had no claim on God's promises. Strangers from the covenants of promise. But this wild olive tree, because of Israel's unbelief, God has grafted us in, who in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God. That's who we are. Not only was Israel the people of God, but now we are the people of God. Who had not obtained mercy? You remember it in Hosea, no mercy? No people? But now have obtained mercy. That's where we are, beloved. Grace has brought us in. And we are now the people of God. Beloved, John writes, now are we the children of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. My people. That's who we are, beloved. We need to understand that. And you know, if we understand who we are, it will help us to understand what we must do, how we must conduct ourselves. I don't know about you, but where I grew up, old folks back home then, when I was a child, they were concerned about their name. And if you're related to them, you have to understand that you can't go out. That people with values, that is, the people who got values everywhere, but people with values, you can't just go out and conduct yourself any way you feel like. Because as you're getting that whip over your back, and that wasn't brutality, that was discipline. When you get, you would hear the preaching at the same time. Could you understand getting a whipping and a preaching at the same time? You are going to disgrace my name. Don't you disgrace my name. Don't you associate with evil company. Don't you, these are the words already used. Don't you drag my name into the gutter. That's what old folks did back where I came from. So you don't want to have to conduct yourself because you had self-respect, but you have to think of the consequences. Because when you go and do filthy things and you go and indulge yourself in things unbecoming decency, you have to deal with your mother and your grandmother. Everyone else, and oh, you have brought disgrace to this family. And they would beat you, and they would and they would preach to you at the same time. but they understood what they were doing, what they're talking about. My name. I'll just have a few minutes. We just talk about his name. My people who are called by my name. There's nothing that the Lord regards more than his name. You look at that confrontation between Nathan and David. And when David and when Nathan told him what had happened and he confronted David, he said, you are the man. You are the man I'm talking about. And David said, I have sinned. And Nathan said to him, the Lord has also forgiven your sin, but, oh, beloved, that was so sad. Howbeit is the word I have in my translation. By this deed, lying with Bathsheba was bad, and killing Uriah was worse. But by this deed, you have caused the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme the name of the Lord. That's what he was guarding. It's about his name. The name of the Lord is continually being blasphemed. That's what we read in Isaiah 52. Continually being blasphemed. My people, called by my name. People of God, we should be more dignified. We should understand that We represent our Lord. We should represent that. We should understand that we are set apart for Him. We should be a sanctified people, a consecrated people. My sons, Isaiah 43, my sons, we had that this morning. My sons and my daughters called by my name. Israel restored. Israel restored. Isaiah 63 and 19. Israel, we are thine. We are called by thy name. Called by thy name. When God called Moses to instruct him with what words Aaron should bless his people, he gave him these words: "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." And then he said, "They shall put my name upon the children of Israel." My name. You and I, beloved, we have a name to protect. We have a name to guard. It's the name of the Lord. It doesn't mean a lot to a whole lot of people. But that name is precious. That name is precious. At Antioch, when Paul and Barnabas labored there, the church established, the people thought that they were going to give them what we call a nickname. You know, we're going to give them a derogatory name. So what name did they give them? They were first called Christians at Antioch. To them it was not a name of, it was not a term of endearment. Oh, but how precious it is. They didn't know what they were talking about. Christ ones, that's who we are. And there is a code of conduct. There is a way of life for you and I to adapt and to walk in, beloved, because it tells us there in 2 Timothy chapter 2, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. My people, called by my name. How do people refer to you? When I was just saved back down in the Caribbean, where they had a nickname for people like me, for the church I went to. But you know, to them it was a negative name. To them it was not a term of endearment. They used to say, "Oh, he has gone to join the saved souls." You don't hear that kind of a language today. But they refer to us as saved souls. You know, and they were right, because we believe in the saving of the soul. My people were called by my name. Just remember, in your conduct and your behavior, decisions that you make, whose name you are known by. Don't be like those in Romans chapter 2, pretenders, Judaizers. Paul says they cause the name of the Lord to be blasphemed. Our conduct should be as becometh the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That holy name by which we are called. Call the saints. Call the people of God. Call the children of God. Call by his name. My people. Let us understand who we are, beloved, and whom we serve. Let us understand that God is jealous about his name, jealous about his relationship. That covenant was ratified by sacrifice. And he said, gather my saints together unto me, those who have made covenant with me by sacrifice. The sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ has brought us into a special relationship with God and with His Son, Jesus Christ. God bless His word. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for that precious name, the name that is above every name, the precious and peerless name of Jesus Christ, Thy beloved Son. We thank Thee for that special relationship into which Thou hast brought us. And we sometimes sing and with the spirit and with the understanding, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. My people who are called by my name. We pray that our conduct would be as becometh children of God. That we regard this relationship, we would understand how God feels about the relationship and how He feels about His name. And grant that we would not make the same mistake that Israel made by going after other gods. We thank Thee for loving us. And we thank Thee for giving Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for us. Father, we pray for this assembly. Whatever the problem is, Thou knowest. We ask for comfort and for strength and for healing. Be with the saints. Encourage the hearts of Thy people. Those who have fallen, may they repent and may they return to the place from which they have fallen. We give Thee thanks now as we part the one from the other. Watch over us and take us to our respective homes in peace and in safety, keeping in mind whose we are and whom we serve. We pray and give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.